I think sometimes the pressure of time is so great, and we bowed to that in order of service in a church.
Yes.
And so the pastor says, all right, ushers, you take the offering, and immediately you secure it, you know, whether that's in the church office or, you know, where it is. But we don't take time to really, I'm speaking now as a priest or a pastor here, as a teacher of the word. We pastors, teachers of the word, we're held in high regard here by the people, but we should make this a time of worship,
mm-hmm.
a time of thanksgiving, a time of thanking the Lord for what he's done for us, and we should, as a representative of the Lord God, which we are, if we've been set aside and we've been consecrated to the Lord as a teacher, or a pastor, evangelist, or whatever, we should put a blessing on that offering.
Yes.
And I believe many times we have, and I'm saying that generally here, I'm generalizing, pastors have not really treated the people's offerings and tithes and their alms with enough respect, with the respect that God has, because that's God's money.
Yes.
And the people have been faithful to be obedient, bring the money to the storehouse and say, here it is, Lord, we're giving that to you. And I believe that even a book of remembrance ought to be kept, as they did in the Old Testament. We ought to say, we have blessed this, and Lord, now we sense that your favor is on what we're doing, and we're going to sign off on this. We're going to say, we agree here. Something's transpired. This money now that has been dedicated to you, Lord, is blessed and is taken into the kingdom of God, and we're watching you bring a blessing now back on the work of our hands.
That's right. And we will be talking about that. It is spoken of in Malachi 3 about a book of remembrance. But as we look into even today, as you were talking about priests and pastors and how things aren't done maybe according to how people believe they should be done, and we have a remnant of people that don't go to church. And you say, well, where do I pay my tithe? And we spoke of this in the previous teaching, where you pay your tithe to the one that feeds you. And it is spoken of here in 1 Corinthians 9. Now, Paul is not a pastor. Paul is an apostle. He's called Apostle Paul because he goes to build churches. He goes to create churches. He goes out and does a circuit of sorts. He goes out and he's a shaker and a mover. He goes out into territory that has never been evangelized, and he evangelizes. So he's not a pastor. He's not, in the concept of the Old Testament, a priest or a Levite who is in a stationary position, who is in a locale where the people come to them. But he says in 1 Corinthians 9, he says, why aren't Barnabas and I also able to be given of from your benefit or from your harvest? He goes on to say, who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat the fruit of it? Or who tends a flock and does not use the milk of the flock? He says, it is written that you shall not muzzle the ox while he's threshing. That means if someone is teaching, you shouldn't keep him from also benefiting from that teaching. And he says, for our sake it is written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. If we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we should reap material things from you? And Paul is saying, as I go around and teach you and I write these books that you are benefiting from, shouldn't I also benefit from what you give to me? And that's physical, material benefits. And also in Galatians 6 he said, let the one who is taught the word share the good things with him who teaches. So Paul is saying here, it's not only the pastor or the shepherd of a church setting that we are so used to as evangelicals in a church setting, but is also the one who comes and teaches you. And as you are being taught by that one, the one who is teaching you should benefit from teaching you. So I believe Paul here is setting a new precedent, Darren. He is saying it's not just the pastor and shepherd that should be given the offering or portions of the offering, but the one who teaches you that should be done.
Well, I know some very wise pastors will say, for example, in fact, I just heard this the other day. Pastor said, you know, I really do not understand prophecy. So twice a year we have a prophecy conference and we bring in a person that really understands prophecy. They spend their time there. And then my people are fed in that way. Well, I know some pastors that do not understand healing. And so they'll bring someone in that really operates in the gifts of healing and of teaching in that area. and then the people are blessed in that regard. Well, probably we could say this. Most pastors would say, I believe if they'd just be open with us, well, I just don't operate on the whole spectrum of God's Word. I can't give you the very best that God has for you, so I'm going to have to depend on somebody else to help me in certain areas. Well, sometimes the parachurch ministries that are on radio and television and do seminars around the country and whatever, sometimes they bring in a very valuable resource for us.
That's right.
And I know that we give in to many of those types of ministries that bless us personally. If they bless us, then we can pass the blessing on to our listeners and our power partners. And, of course, we share that between ourselves here. But I believe it goes back to that Old Testament concept. When they brought the sacrifice in, it didn't all just stay there. The people were blessed in return.
That's right. It's like a big circle, Darren. And I believe this is one of God's plans, that everybody is getting fed. Everybody is getting blessed. And if we keep that circle going, if we bring in the tithe and the tithe blesses the pastor and the pastor tithes in return, but some people don't. So it becomes a dead sea of sorts. It becomes dead. If we don't keep that circle moving and keep the people being blessed, then somebody suffers from that.
Well, sometimes we end up being takers, you know, and nobody really likes a taker. I mean, once that person is identified as a mooch, as a taker, you don't want to be around that kind of people.
No, that's right.
And I think sometimes that even carries over into our lives. In fact, I'll just tell a story quickly. We sat down at a table one Sunday to have a meal, and there was a large table next to us. I know you're smiling, Barbara, but we watched that whole table, and they were bent out of shape because they weren't seated as soon as they ought to
be. Well, what was so interesting is that we knew the pastor.
Yeah, we did happen to know this guy, and it was unfortunate. But anyway, and we talked to him, he talked to us. But this party hadn't called ahead, so they put the strain on the staff at the restaurant. And then they were unhappy because they didn't get the very best service, and they complained, and they were given free desserts.
Yes.
By the restaurant, which had probably a more Christian attitude than these people had. But then when they left, the bill was over $100.
Yes.
And so
you say, how did you know that? Because the waitress waited on us.
Yeah,
and she
was complaining. And I said, well, like, what kind of tip did they give you? You're unhappy here. And she said, $3.
Yeah, she was crying.
She was crying. She said, I came especially to work today because I needed the money and these people stiffed me.
Yes.
Now, in the restaurant business, that means that they didn't give the tip that they should give.
That's right.
And a lot of people don't understand. Those waitresses make about $2 an hour, and they depend on the tips. And if people don't tip, I mean, they've really, in a sense, stolen from those people that waited on them. That's our custom in this country.
Yeah, and I want to address that, Darren, where the pastor sometimes thinks the buck stops here. I don't have to pay tithe, or I don't have to be generous. I'm a pastor, or I'm a missionary. I don't have to pay tithe. And in the Old Testament here, in Numbers 18:26 specifically, the Lord is speaking to the priests. He's speaking to the leaders, and he says, when you take from the sons of Israel the tithe, which I have given you from them. Now, God has instituted all this, but he's telling the leadership, when you get that tithe, then you shall present an offering from it, a tithe of the tithe. Darren, it doesn't stop at the pastor or the shepherd or the teacher. That teacher and shepherd and pastor are responsible and accountable for paying the tithe on the tithe they receive.
Well, of course, you know, we believe that the ministry should tithe, the pastor should tithe, but I'm going back to the situation of this restaurant.
Oh, you're
because I think it's important. And this
okay.
is not to hold up Darren and Barbara's being hot dogs. But this waitress was so grieved, and a very poor testimony was left by this church group. So we just kind of quickly calculated what that would be, and we told her, we're going to take care of it. We're going to make up for you the tip that you didn't get from this other table. Well, this girl was shocked, but I believe that God called us to do that, that we had to pick up for another Christian brother and sister that didn't do what they should have done. And folks, I'm saying this, be generous with these public servants. I mean, that's really what they are. They're serving the public. And I know, Barbara, we tip generously, but it always comes back to us. We almost always have a good table. We almost always have great service.
Yes.
And I believe we've sown that, and it goes out ahead of time. And we have fun with these people that wait on us.
Yes, we do.
And I mean, some of our memorable experiences with people we'll never meet again. But we had a good time. The meal was served well. I mean, everybody enjoyed it. Think about it, folks. How do you take care of these people, and what kind of impression do you leave when you leave that restaurant?
Yes. Well, here in Proverbs, and we spoke about this a little bit